Okay, how are you?
I'm okay.
Recording in progress.
We are not quite ready to start the October 23rd, 2024 regular board meeting of the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board. We will start in just a couple minutes, and we do have a board member on the Zoom, so when we're ready, we should vote her in too. Very excited. Okay. Aren't you excited about our fun project? Oh yeah, well we have an expo in a couple days, so
right,
oh, well, oh the other
like
other
like Saturday.
Oh, another other project. Oh my gosh, we do have other projects I've been procrastinating. Now I get it. Okay.
Depends on which clock you look at.
I know. We're good. And once you got, and Stephanie's here. She can do roll call and all that. But once we've got called to order and roll call for here, we can vote Vicki in because she's on the Zoom.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm going to call this meeting to order.
Okay, will this meeting come to order? And can we have the roll call, Kim? Or Stephanie. Who's doing the roll call? Stephanie, please.
Okay. Susan Fowler.
Present.
Kim Fisher. Georgiana Schuster.
Present.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Vicki Nicewander.
Okay, I think Vicki Nicewander is here virtually. And what do we need to do to make it?
You can, someone can move to have Vicki participate, so, and then a second, and then discussion, and then voice vote.
All right. Well, I move that we allow Vicki to participate virtually. Is there a second?
I will second that motion.
Okay. Any comments? Well, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Vicki, you're in. And thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for voting me in. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay. I'm going to go to citizen input and public participation. We have to vote to approve the agenda. There's a little star there. I just skipped over that. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I so move to approve the agenda.
And I will second that motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. The agenda is approved. Okay, we've got the meeting schedule, the acronyms online, thank you, and the citizen input public participation. Is there anyone that wants to come forward at this time? Anyone online? Okay, the next item is chairperson's comments. I am standing in for our chairperson, Vicki, and I hope Vicki is making a good recovery, and thank you for joining us. This should be a fairly straightforward meeting, but one never knows. And thank everyone for being here, and thank you, Georgian, for being here, filling in. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
Lynn?
You know, I'm going to defer comments. I think I've put plenty of comments into the packet. Is that okay?
You put some good comments into the packet, and you also send us good things in between meetings for our perusal and thought. Next item is approval of the board meeting minutes.
I move to approve the board minutes for the 9/18/24 DD board meeting, and then also the 9/25 study session, which included the mental health board along with the DD board.
I will second that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
And the next item is the vendor invoice list, pages 9 to 13. Can I have a motion to approve the vendor invoice list as printed?
I'll make that motion to approve the vendor invoice list as printed.
I will second as printed.
Any questions or comments? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? I heard all the voices, so I think we're all good. Next items are staff reports. As usual, the staff reports are thorough and very interesting reading, and thank you to the staff. I don't know how you have time to do all of those things and record all of them. I would have difficulty myself, but thank you for keeping us informed as to what you are doing and what's going on in the community. Any comments about staff reports? New business. Item A is summaries of the PY 2024 IDD program results, pages 29 to 44. This is an information only. Are there any comments or questions? Yes.
Your microphone. I found this microphone.
I had so many questions after I read the report, and I'm not going to ask them here, but I've had a side conversation with Lynn, and I think she's had one with Kim, that there's the potential to have, at least in some selected cases, some interesting data over time, since this is collected every year, and we've talked about this before, but it's not always clear what the percentages mean versus what the numbers mean. So, you know, if 165 targets are served over 165, that's clearly 100%, and that's great. But sometimes percentages are used, and it's just really hard to determine what it relates back to. And so not to add any work to the staff right now, I think just thinking in the future about, are there a couple of indices that we want to look at more carefully might make it worth pursuing it a little bit more intentionally, but not across the board. Not across the board. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Susan. I agree, and you know, having done this for a number of years now, I would say that the reports are way more readable, user-friendly, informative, reflect reality on the ground than they used to be. And the whole purpose of a report is for the public and for us as a board to understand what's really going on. So increasing clarity is certainly a goal. And I just want to commend people, both the agencies and the staff, for making it as user-friendly as you have up to date. And probably people will be open to further suggestions to make it even more understandable. Thank you. Any other comments about that?
Can I make a comment? Of course. Georgina, did you
have? No. So one thing I think that made it sort of confusing on its face is this is a report that we traditionally bring to you in October that
only shows the utilization targets, which are numbers of treatment plan clients, non-treatment plan clients, service contacts, and community service events, and hours, because the agencies also report hours for almost all of the programs. So those are just straight numbers, and then you can compare with what the targets were at the beginning of the year. But the agencies also provide a lot of detail about each of the outcomes, and they only provide it at the end of the year. They're giving us a look back. There are some comments about what went well and what didn't go well. Like, it's really fascinating reading, but there's not a lot of space in the board packet for it, and there's not a lot of time. So it is posted in a couple places. I've got it linked here. I'm going to try to open it on the screen so you can see. It's a very long document, 131 pages, but it's super interesting, and they talk about the outcomes, which are different from those, you know, how many people were served. It's more, the percentages are used in the outcomes because they're looking for success, and so it'll be like 80% of people scored, you know, showed improved scores post-test and pre-test, and they do a lot of work on those throughout the year. So this document is really fascinating. It's posted publicly. We learn a lot from it. I thought, oh my goodness, what if we just could summarize a few things from there and add them to the utilization report that we've been giving you, which made it a lot longer. It was, I must say, it's really hard to summarize because I worry that we're losing the impact when we summarize. So this was just an experiment, and if it wasn't as helpful, we can look at other ways to do this. But what I learned from Dr. Fowler and what Kim and I have been working on the last couple of days is that a longitudinal look in, you know, whether it's outcomes or utilization or both, could be super interesting, and we can do it because we have the data. So anyway, I thought it was worth a try, but I just always want to appreciate the agency's hard work on these outcome reports because we really do like them, but we don't make much of them yet. So.
Of course. So Lynn very kindly sent me the 130-page document when I raised a few questions. Plus, she responded in at least a 2-page email, and I thought, I was just curious. But this is what I love about the staff and the potential of the agency reports. So I had in mind more like, perhaps we could get a graduate student who would like to play with the data rather than the staff who are already spread thin. And they were more curiosity questions. But, you know, some of them are maybe worth pursuing if we have concerns or questions or really want to highlight phenomenal successes, you know, really great success stories. So I just can't tell you how overwhelmed I was. And not only did I get the report for the current year, but also back to 2007, I think, 2014, like something, every really way back.
You got every year that we've published it. Because, I mean, some of them are 400 pages. They're really a lot. But this is really goes to the heart of what this money is doing in the community. So, yeah. I don't want to oversell it, but I think there's really good material in there.
Thank you for those comments. Any other discussion on this, on these reports?
Could I add one comment?
Yes, of course.
I think just to simplify, the utilization data is outputs, and then we added the outcomes. So just to simplify it a little bit, those utilization, those are outputs, so it's really easy to just look at that and know those are straight numbers of people served. And then the outcomes go more in depth of what people are actually doing and how successful they're being with the fund.
More subjective.
Yes.
Okay, so the next item is the approval of the executive director contract. And Lynn and I talked yesterday. Neither one of us are sure what the legal protocol is. Well, I'm not sure. She may be sure. I think she does not have to leave the room, but she wanted to leave the room. This is still a public meeting. She can go online and listen to everything that we have to say. Just remember that. So the contract has been negotiated. It starts January 1 of 2025 and goes through December 31 of 2026. So it is a two-year contract. She had an evaluation. The presidents of both boards signed off on the evaluation. It was a very good evaluation, and we just have to vote on approving her contract. And I do not have a copy of the contract in here. So can I have a motion?
I would move to approve it. This is Vicki.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Vicki. Second? Georgina?
I will second that motion to approve.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and second. Any discussion?
Keep our hands on her.
Don't lose her. Okay. I think this is just a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion is approved. We need Lynn back. Somebody want to give her a shout back there? Lynn, you're employed for the next 2 years.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay,
well, we've accomplished a major item there. And the next item is a decision memorandum requesting approval for the revised draft 2025 CCDDB and IDD Special Initiative Fund budgets. Additional information is included, and we are looking at pages 45 to 53. So I need a motion first.
I'll make the motion to approve. I guess I'll read it here. To approve the attached revised draft 2025 CCDDB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $5,518,336.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Okay, comments or questions?
Anne?
Yes.
I just want to say that I was on the board many years ago for mental health, and I am so impressed by how the DD board budget has grown over time. And I looked through here and saw that there were only, I think, 2 years where it went down a tiny bit, but not significantly. Otherwise, as Lynn pointed out in the discussion, due to the economy, it's continued to be high and positive. And that is, you know, really exciting. And now we wait to see what happens. But I think we should be very pleased with the county for the support that we have through the different taxes and levies for the board.
And I would make the comment, once again, I always look at the numbers, but our budgeted contributions and grants for next year are 91.8% of our total revenue, which is
92%.
That's 92%. That's excellent.
Thank you for that comment. I actually had underlined that number myself because I don't know any other board that can probably make that comment. I mean, obviously, we do have to have operating costs and
right.
Staff has to be paid, but this is really phenomenal, and this money that's going out there to serve the community. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Any more comments? And I think, do we need a voice vote for this?
We need a roll
Stephanie, or just a roll call vote?
We need a roll call.
Roll call. Okay, would you please do the roll call?
Sure. Susan Fowler?
Aye.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes.
Okay, that's everybody present. So the resolution passes. And the next one is, who would like to read it? Susan, you want to read the next one? Page 46.
Got it. Motion to approve the attached revised draft 2025 IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget with anticipated expenses of $239,063, with equal revenues including transfer of $233,063 from fund balance. Use of this fund is consistent with the terms of the intergovernmental agreement between the CCDDB and the CCMHB, and full approval is contingent on CCMHB action. I move to approve.
Is there a second?
I will second that motion.
Okay. Is there a discussion about this? Do we need clarification of what this means? Susan?
Yeah. Is this the money that's left from the sale of the Scylla? Mm-hmm. And we are just gradually attempting to spend down for special initiatives the sale of the Scylla or the profits from that. Okay. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that was the clarification I was looking for.
Can I make another?
Yes, absolutely.
This is in the last few years, you haven't had to do to approve any revisions to this one because it's so simple and we got it right the first time. And then if the revenues changed, they would impact the DDB and mental health board budgets, but not this one. This one surprised me. And the change is that our anticipated interest income is going down. And when I talked to the budget director, he was, you know, pretty sure that the estimate we had in there was way too high. So it means not only that you'll have lower investment interest, but to make the commitment of expenditures, we need to transfer a little bit more of the fund balance to compensate. So really simple changes, but they caught me by surprise. But of course, interest income is going to go down. So anyway.
Any further discussion of this item? Okay, I think we need a roll call vote.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes. And moving along, we've got a Engage Illinois information piece, pages 54 to 56. Anyone want to make a comment about this? Lynn? Somebody making a comment?
This might be, Mrs. Nyswander, I don't know if you want to talk about the project generally. I put this in here even though it's past the date, but it was a call for input for Engage Illinois to speak to the governor. So this was, I don't know, I thought it was kind of informative anyway, and it also shows what they've been up to. But you might know more about what they've been up to also in addition to that. It's hard, that, you know, they're busy, it's family members, so they're not, you know, just like jumping to send us a report, which is A-okay.
But I wasn't involved in the development of this letter other than they contacted me and said, do you have any input, any feedback on what we've written? And originally what they had in here was a lot of language about relying on the ICAP to determine needs for people. And I replied and said, I think the ICAP, number one, is way outdated. And should not be relied upon for anything, you know, any future initiatives. And so they did remove that language. But other than that, it was not at a very opportune time for me to review. So that's as far as my input went on it.
Thank you for that. Any other comments about this information? Okay, I'm going to move on to the Evaluation Capacity Building Project update. Do we have someone from the evaluation team that is going to speak with us?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jacinda Dariotis. I direct the Family Resiliency Center and MPI on the evaluation. We're happy to report that we have been continuing with our technical assistance with three of the different programs, and that's been going really, really well, ranging from helping to identify and develop new survey instruments for outcomes, logic models, and so forth. And speaking to the difference between outputs and outcomes, we are hosting a virtual workshop with the agencies on November 21st at 10:30, and we're going through the existing repository of measures and going through how to utilize it, how to improve it, and also talking about best practices in selecting and developing outcome measures. So it's virtual because the repository is virtual, and we want to see how useful and utilized it currently is and what we can be doing to improve it so that it's useful for all of the agencies. So we've reached out to all of the agencies and have asked them to participate in this virtual workshop, and also anyone that they know of who would benefit from it is welcome to join as well. So we're very excited about that. And we have a micro-learning that's going to be launched right before that, which is going to be a little bit of homework, but they're very, very short videos to prime about outcomes and outputs. So that's what we've been busy, hard at work doing as of late. So.
Can you put the information about that virtual meeting in a form that Lynn can send it out to the board if there's anybody on the board that's interested in participating?
They already have, so I can...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome to come and learn about outcomes. That'd be fabulous. So great. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that sounds like an interesting program for somebody that has time to do it. Okay, we want to hear about the Disability Resource Expo update. I believe the expo is this Saturday, so coming right up, everything should be ready. Who's going to speak about it?
We have a lot of experts here.
Everything should be ready, but we're doing a lot of preparation still, so everything will be ready. Let's say that. Yeah, the expo is Saturday at Marketplace Mall from 11 to 4. I know that we still need a few volunteers for the later afternoon sessions. I believe the afternoon session for greeters, we may need a couple, and then the tear down and dropping stuff back off at the storage facility, so we can make sure to send the volunteer link later this morning. They are doing something new this year. They're doing an exhibitor meet and greet, so I think that starts at 10:30, Becca? What is that?
I think 9:45.
It's before the expo. We're not sure exactly what time that starts, but some of the feedback they got last year was that exhibitors wanted the opportunity to speak with other exhibitors. So they are doing a little... juice and maybe some snacks, I think, in the food court area to give the exhibitors that opportunity to connect. I can't think of anything else that's like, it's a very, it's moving. It's constantly moving. So Saturday at 4, I'll be exhausted and I'll sleep until Monday. So.
There might be folks online to speak to it, too. I know Vicki Nicewander and Chandra Somerville may have something to add. We also have the volunteer coordinator is here, right?
She's
So, or Chandra and Becca are the volunteer coordinators. So I don't know if you guys want to add anything.
I would be happy to just to refresh the memories of folks who are listening today that Allison and what's her husband's name? Gosh, I'm drawing a blank here.
Dylan.
Must be the pain medication. They have done a fabulous job of organizing this event, and I just can't say enough about how positive this has become for our community and for the disability community in general. So thank you to both of them.
I think volunteering is going well, and so I just want to thank everybody that has stepped up to serve. And Becca and Ashley, we have created like a really great team, and it's been a good experience just on how we can continue to execute this, because this event does require a lot of volunteers and different partnerships. So thank you all again.
Thank you for that. Any more information about the expo? All right, we're ready for success as another agency information. Who wants to go first?
Hi, I'm Becca with Community Choices. I'll just sort of tag on to the conversation about the expo briefly to say that, Kim, you're absolutely correct. That afternoon time slot from about 2:30 on till the end of 4:35. At the end of the event, we do still need a few people, although we're doing quite well. There's one other area that we are still looking for a couple folks, and that's just one or two people that can support the accessibility table for like the second half of the event. So I think between like 12:30 and 4. Yes.
The sign-up genius says that's reserved for Parkland OT students.
I just heard, I need to change that, because I just heard back from Mike Weaver, who coordinates the OT students at Parkland, and they have always, for the past many years, always filled those spots. And he reached out just yesterday to say that they'd actually changed a few things this year and that they didn't have as many people. And so if you are someone or you know somebody, we are still looking for those spots, and I'll change that when I get back to the office and adjust it. But yeah, otherwise it's going really well. And yeah, to echo Chandra, I think we've got it down to a science at this point of getting volunteers. It's been going quite well. Over at Community Choices, things are also going really well. I don't know that it's a very specific success, but I just wanted to just share in general that we've been extremely busy. I think the last, 6 months or so has been some of the busiest that the organization has been. We had 14 new members join in quarter one, which I have not gone back to review the data, but I'm pretty sure that is a record for us. We've had 10 before. And quarter two is really looking to be probably similar. We had, I think, just over 60 people at our family party that was just about a week ago. We're anticipating at least that many at our sort of holiday party that we do in early December. We've got new people coming in to looking for SDA support through the waiver. We've got at least 3 people confirmed, and we're talking with the ISDs about at least, I think, 3 other folks. So we're up to over 50 people that we provide that service for in the community. We also are still providing additional support for people who, in our community support department, who need sort of additional services. And I think there's one individual that we've worked with for in various ways for a very long time, and some things changed in her life where her parents had to sort of back away and weren't really able to provide the same sort of support, and the state guardian got involved. And at that point, we really stepped in and started providing a lot more services, which is really what we had hoped would happen with the community support department when we expanded it, that we would be a resource for people when parents weren't able to provide the supports that they maybe once were, in terms of coordination, in terms of getting people to medical appointments, and just kind of managing all of those details. And so obviously there's still lots of support that can happen and we're still figuring a few things out. But it's been really exciting to see over the last, I would say, 4 to 6 months, how that program has really been able to do exactly what we had intended to do. It was always designed to be really flexible and very a la carte, and so the ways people used it has been, you know, we didn't always anticipate exactly what that would look like, but this was what we were really hoping it could be a resource for, and so it's really been great to kind of see that come to fruition. So in general, things are going well. We also have a new Connect an employment person that started, and it was very nice. We were able to get somebody hired and started within 2 weeks of somebody leaving, which was felt like a very good success on my part, or just, you know, for the overall running of the organization. So all right, I think that's it.
Good morning, Patty Walters from DSC, and I'm using my phone as a list today because I was out of the office most of last week and had some things that I wanted to make sure and mention, so just wanted to let you know that I've got a list that I created. First of all, thank you. Last month, DDB and MHB hosted the study session for advocates to come and present, and it was really nice to be here and hear that, and I know that they really enjoyed the opportunity to speak. Last year was the first time that you guys did that, and I felt like this year the flow, the moderator, it was a really nice event, and just wanted to acknowledge and recognize that. And I know that we've gotten a lot of feedback. Of course, Wendy is very excited about any future opportunities that she has, and we'll definitely be utilizing her in some other forums. One of the things that got mentioned at that meeting was the Crow and the open house. The December holiday open house is scheduled for Sunday, December 8th from 11 to 5. So I wanted to make sure to share that. I know that there were some Star Wars fans and a couple other things that got mentioned, and so I know those items will be available, and we're looking for a good crowd for that. It's always a fun time. Yesterday there was an EI rally for early intervention services. Bev Baker from United Way kind of emceed the event. It was very well attended. There were a few families that provided some testimony about the challenges that they're facing in accessing EI services, and the intent is for to rally the state to invest more into EI because there's waiting lists for services, and there's not enough providers, there's not enough therapists, and that starts with the developmental therapist all the way through the other disciplines of PT, OT, and speech. You know, we have a really cohesive team, and Heather is the person for our program that does screenings, and she was on site. There was some media coverage I saw this morning, just a snippet from it, but it feels like it was a very successful, productive event, and I know that I believe there were representatives from Paul Faraci and Carol Ammon's offices also present. So hopefully it'll be kind of a start to, you know, some momentum and not a one and done, but it was really well attended. So I wanted to mention that. The Speak Out, Speak Up Summit was held last week. I think I shared last month that while a little disappointed that it was a 100% virtual event, we had, I think, 38 people participate, and I've got that in another. 35 different people with 8 staff supporting. Some individuals attended all 3 days, some just one or two, and the theme was Advocates Unite. And presentations from people across the advocates across the state included supportive decision making, ABLE accounts, using art for advocacy, and taking control of your own life so others don't. So really good topics for that. And that's always something everybody's really excited to participate in. We were glad to be able to facilitate that. And hopefully it'll be in person. We typically have a mix. We typically have some people that actually attend in person and really enjoy the social events and the evenings that go along with all the, just like any other conference that we would attend. And then people that are still kind of committed to the virtual. So we facilitate both of those. And then next week we are hosting CQL. They come every 3 years. It's the Quality on Council, Quality and Leadership. They'll be with us from Tuesday through Saturday and doing, not Saturday, Friday. They need to leave on Friday. But anyway, we've got focus groups that are going to be with frontline supervisors, DSPs, individuals, parents and guardians. And what's really nice about being connected with CQL is it's more about quality of service. We have lots and lots of things that we do with the state standards and the, you know, kind of requirements. And then this is kind of above and beyond that to really focus on quality. And I appreciate especially just the kind of national experience and exposure that they have, because as we all know, Illinois is not the top of many things. So hearing what they're seeing in other states can really kind of help us drive decisions moving forward and focus on some things that maybe we don't have a lot of exposure to. So we are welcoming them next week. So that's all. Oh, was there one more thing? No. I mentioned the crow. Okay. All right. I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. I'm LaShonda Hall from Case Center for Independent Living. And I just wanted to report on the advisory meeting that we had last month, where we talked about the ABLE account. We had someone come in from the state treasurer's office to speak to us about that. We hosted that on September 24th. We also participated in Illinois Corner at the School of Social Work to get exposure out there as well. We had participated in the Expungeness Summit and Resource Fair at Stone Creek Church. We also had Representative Carol Ammons come into our open house, and she spoke to us about some things in the community that were of interest to us, and she let us know that is of interest to her as well. So we're getting support from the state as well. And I believe that is it.
Thank you for that. Okay, sorry. Becca, we'll let you come back.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I was just looking in my bag and I saw my mail-in ballot that I need to drop off at the end of the meeting, and it reminded me that I meant to share that we've been doing a voting and sort of civic engagement class this fall. And so it's been meeting on Tuesdays, and it actually ends on Election Day. And so we were able to, a couple of the people in the class were already registered to vote. We were able to get everybody else registered to vote. One of the participants came in yesterday, and he had just gotten his voter registration card in the mail, and he was very excited, and he was just talking about, like, I'm going to go vote today. and so anyway, it's been a really great class. We've been able to welcome in a few sort of local area politicians and people involved in the political process to kind of share about not only just kind of like the bigger offices that we're obviously going to be voting for here very soon, but actually some of the smaller ones that genuinely have a larger impact sometimes on our day-to-day life here in this community. And so they were able to share both like what they do, like what that role is like, as well as just like what that process of like running for an office and being having constituents is like. And so it's been a really good class, and we're hoping we can do it in the future too for future elections. And we've also been doing a cooking class in partnership with the Park District. They've been letting us use their lovely kitchen over at Phillips Rec Center, and we've been sort of doing a series of like, here are a lot, like 8 different things you can do with a rotisserie chicken. It's a very accessible form of protein that is easy to access, and lots of tasty things you can do with it. So it's been going well.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
I'm Angela Yost with the Regional Planning Commission. I just wanted to give a quick update on our Community Life Short-Term Assistance Program. That's the new program we have that provides direct funding to individuals for trips or other items that they might need. So with the end of quarter one, we've been able to get a bed for someone that we found out had been sleeping on their floor for about 2 years. We've been able to help someone get items for their new apartment. They've been in a nursing home for a while and just wanting to make their home feel more more like their own place after not having, you know, their own personal space. So we were able to get things like a comfortable chair for her, and a television, and an iPad, those sorts of things, and just some little things to make it feel more like her own home. We have been working on a vacation, and the individuals leave today for that. So hopefully we'll have an update on that. Well, we'll have an update on that at the next meeting. So just really, you know, the first quarter started out slower than we anticipated, but that's okay because we're figuring out the process, you know, learning some things that we can do differently to make the process better, more cohesive, and, you know, really figuring out how to make the program flow well. So it's in its works, and hoping that we will get more referrals soon.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Could I just ask a question of Angela? Is the vacation the honeymoon? So two people that they're supporting are taking their honeymoon. So I feel like that's extra special. Not just a regular vacation, but a honeymoon.
Brings a tear to my eye. Is there any county board input? Mental health board.
The mental health board will meet this evening. They have similar business. They also have a presentation from the Coalition Summer Youth Initiatives Program. That's, you know, that they'll show slides and talk about all the different classes and offerings they had this summer and successes. And it's always a lot more like heartwarming than I expect. Like hearing what's actually happening in programs seems to be really positive. So that'll be a really nice presentation. And otherwise, it's a similar business to this one. And we're on track so far with bringing you both priorities to approve in November. Fingers crossed. That will help us stand up the application system a little bit early. So,
thank you. Are there any board announcements? Well, thank you for a very productive meeting, good information, and I believe we are adjourned.